Hey everyone, this is the Wrath of the Iotians podcast. We're two Gen X friends who chat about fantasy, horror, and science fiction books, movies, and streaming shows. We also interview some amazing authors and independent directors. I'm Ron in Seattle. This is episode 84. I'm at the Seattle International Film Festival, and I'm going to chat with director Peter Collins Campbell about his extraordinary short horror film, Variations on a Theme. We met at the Grand Hyatt Press Suite, arranged by the CIF Press team. Before we get to the interview, let's listen to a trailer of Variations on a Theme.
What's wrong?
Sam, do you remember where you were before this morning?
Hey, this is Ron. I'm at the Seattle International Film Festival with director Peter Collins Campbell. He's going to talk to us about his film Variations on a Theme. Hey, Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, for our listening audience, can you tell us more about Variations on a Theme?
Sure. It's a short film. It's also a proof of concept for a feature film, but it is short about a couple that has started splitting into multiple versions of themselves physically and doesn't know why, and they're trapped in this house trying to figure out why.
The film itself looks very intriguing. I'm sure you're a fan of other films, and usually this idea of splitting is used for comedic effect, but even watching the trailer alone, it looks like they're going through a very disturbing experience.
Yeah, it rides a line. There's definitely humor in it. I don't know if I would call it. Everyone has a different read. Some people think it's like straight horror. Some people have called it straight comedy. I don't really think it's either one. I star in the film with Sophia Dunn-Walker, and we then co-wrote the feature together after we made the short. And in both of them, I went back and watched that Michael Keaton movie, Multiplicity, because people kept saying this sounds like that, and it's a bit darker than that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that film for years, but I'm assuming it's so much darker.
It doesn't really hold up. All love to Michael Keaton.
That's interesting that you're writing short and developing to feature. What were some of the things, without giving anything away in the feature, but what were some of the challenging aspects for making the short into a feature?
I think the parameters of what, where the beginning should be and where the ending should be, because the short subverts some of the problems that proof of concept films have when it's taking scenes from a feature script and making them into a short, because it usually feels incomplete. And the short was developed when only the idea for the feature existed. So I think the short script is effective as a short. And then we like retroactively figured out, okay, where do those events figure into the feature when we wrote the whole script? And it's definitely different. There are some things that kind of get approached in the short that aren't so much a problem in the feature and vice versa. But what we ended on was the idea that the stuff that happens in the short is essentially like the end of the first act of the feature. And then it like goes on chronologically about 3 more weeks after that.
I think one of the challenges to make a film with your theme is obviously the effects. What was your approach to creating duplicates of yourself and your co-star?
We used a bunch of different techniques, and I think that it was partly what we could get away with budgetarily, which was like nothing budget-wise, but like the different techniques for the effects, we use as many different ways possible to keep the audience 2 steps behind where we were at, because many of them are very simple effects, just done in kind of a way that sort of hides the simplicity of the effect. And by the time that you're thinking about it and going, oh, I think I know how they did that, we're on to a different way of approaching that. So in some cases, it would be as simple as what a kid could do on TikTok with like split screen. People do cloning themselves for like little internet sketches and stuff all the time. And we will essentially be using that technique in one shot, but then the next one is like an incredibly complicated, like After Effects masking technique where I'm tracking one plate of the shot to a zoomed version of the shot and another one, and it took 3 months to do. And then some of them are just doubles, which was honestly the most fun to just have like lots of us.
That's intriguing. I would imagine too, obviously you have a script for variations on the theme. Do you have some type of storyboard ready? Because I imagine it must be very complex to try to film this idea that you have.
We definitely storyboarded the short every shot and have not a whole lot of deviation from it because almost every single shot is an effect shot. So for the feature, it will be storyboarded for sure. We are not in like official pre-production yet, but the script is still being tweaked. So as soon as it's locked in, I will be storyboarding definitely because the effects are only going to get crazier.
Yeah, I can imagine on scaling up the feature film, how complex it's going to get. I've interviewed several independent directors before, but you're the first one I've actually interviewed who acts in his own movie. I can imagine that must be a lot of work for you to focus on your acting and the directing of the film. Can you tell me how you balance that out?
I've never really done that before. So this was a different thing for me in that case. I had a small scene in my feature that I did a couple years ago, Dimland, but I cut it out of the final movie. So it was an inconsequential scene. For this, it would not have been possible to do that without creative collaborators that I knew really well and trusted. Brandon Hoig was our cinematographer, and I've worked with him before on music videos. And I didn't have to worry about whether the framing of the shot was going to be correct. And our schedule was insane. We had 2 days to film everything. There was often many times where it was not possible for me to run back to the camera and be like, okay, let's watch that. Can I see that? And it paid off. I'm pretty happy with the way that it looks. And I think everyone did a great job. It was definitely stressful. I don't know if I could do that on a feature. The plan is definitely to stay behind the camera for the feature and have maybe more famous actors do it, hopefully.
One thing I want to point out to our listening audience is, as he just stated, this is not his first film. He has a feature already, Dimland, and he's directed a number of music videos. You have a lot of experience for someone who appears to be and look fairly young.
I'm 29. I appreciate you saying that I look young. Thanks. I don't know if I can confirm or deny that I have a lot of experience for that.
But no, that's amazing. You already have that much experience under your belt at age 29.
Again, thanks. I don't know. Of course, in my mind, I'm like nowhere near where I think that I should be at my age, whatever.
I think with variations of theme, doing something that's, again, like you said, a mixture of horror and comedy, and something that isn't easily defined, is, I find that really exciting. And I'm sure there's other people in our listening audience and a wider audience out there that's looking for that, because I was just talking to the last person that content is king these days. So you know, we are trying to find something that's not a cookie cutter experience. And it sounds like variations of the theme is anything but a cookie cutter experience.
I think that since doing my first film, when I really was not thinking about genre in any way, and it was more, I don't know, just a personal expression and not really a whole lot more calculated than that, variations, although it is still just as personal, and I'm really proud of the feature script and the work that Sophia and I did on it, is intensely earnest and personal and like raw, but also is made for the audience. And I actually can like confidently say this is a entertaining movie that we're making here that is not just like some weirdo art house film that like no one is going to appreciate besides like a few people at film festivals. It's definitely like a piece of genre entertainment that also has some hopefully depthful things to say about the weird ways that people kind of splinter in relationships.
Well, that's great to know, because yeah, you don't want to have a very small amount of people and small number of fanatics watching a film either. So I can't wait for the feature film. What are the steps to make this a feature now that you have the script written?
Right now, the biggest goal is to attach a producer to the film, and the script has been going around for a few months. I am hoping that the moderate success that we're having on the festival circuit will help get some attention to the script. I think when we started shopping it around, we did not know that it was going to do well at festivals. And we've been really happy with the festival just going. SIFF is a great festival. And next, I believe we're playing at Chattanooga Film Festival, which is a fave. Definitely want to get a producer on board. And other than that, really just getting some money.
Again, I admire independent directors and pick your path you need to go to get a feature created. It doesn't seem easy, but you've done it before with Dim Land.
Yeah, Dim Land was the result of really just like sheer frustration that I was not already 3 years deep making features. Like I felt like I didn't know what I was doing and just needed to make something. So it was made in spite of having no money. And in the end, our budget was like, including going to festivals, like under 30,000. I don't think that's going to fly for variations. As much as I love that, I am working on a different feature that is, again, just desperately trying to make something that could be like very cheap. But variations, we're looking for something that can accommodate the amount, as far as budget, like the amount of time that it will take to properly do these effects and not skimp on anything.
Again, you seem to have a just a real love for filmmaking. What's the origins of that? How did you start getting interested in the visual medium?
I don't have a cool story of knowing that I wanted to make films. I can say that it's been the only constant thing as far as what I'm interested in from when I was a child. I think the first documented attempt of mine to make a film of any kind was my dad helped me make a stop motion movie with his camcorder of a chess game when I was 9. Then I just kept playing with his camcorder and making like terrible stop motion Lego movies, and that evolved. And it's just been something that, like, by the time I was in middle school, I was pretty sure that was what I wanted to do with my life.
That's incredible. Peter, it sounds like you're in the right place, the right time. I hope you get money for variations of a theme, because it sounds like it's going to be an incredible movie. Because you're right, it's nice to get something that's original, but still entertaining to a wide audience. So I hope you get the money to produce that feature. Any other projects you have lined up for yourself?
I do music videos, probably put out a couple of those a year, none lined up currently. And yeah, I'm just writing another feature that is currently untitled, but is about an Uber Eats bike delivery driver descending into hell in Manhattan. It's wild.
I want that film too. Please make that one. That sounds hilarious.
It's like in the vein of After Hours or Good Time, just like one insanely terrible night and like a surrealist edge to it. So hopefully going to do that either before or after variations, depending on me when we get the money.
I hope you make that, because first of all, After Hours is one of my favorite films. To me, it's my favorite Scorsese film. And I've always thought to myself, don't they make more films like this? This is just incredible. It's this journey of one night of this person going through this hell. It ends up where he was at the beginning of the movie. So if you make something like that, I would absolutely love that concept of an Uber rider going to this journey in hell. That would be terrific.
After Hours is definitely the prime inspiration for it. And I agree. I think After Hours was actually the movie that like made Scorsese like click for me. Like, I didn't really get Scorsese until that one.
I totally agree. It's funny because my oldest brother loved watching different films, but he brought in After Hours. I'm like, that's a great film. But I didn't realize it was Scorsese at the time. And he pointed that out to me. I'm like, wow, okay, I got to see more of this stuff. It was just something incredible. And again, that's really one of my favorite films. And I just hope that, if I may, can I ask you what's a working title for this film?
I go to a writing group every week, and just the working title that I've been putting on it is just Delivery, but that's not going to be the title. I've been also calling it just like Untitled Bike Delivery Hell Movie, because it's After Hours, Good Time. There's a Sean Baker movie called Takeout that is like a more grounded, realistic movie. And then I've also been reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is pretty cool. And that's like the other big inspiration. I can't really tell. It's pretty early in the first draft. I think it's probably about 60% done. But I don't know how intense the literal mythological vibes are going to be, but there's definitely like ominous darkness and insanity. And just, it's the first like New York movie that I've done since moving there. And I also have many years of experience doing Uber Eats deliveries on a bike. So it's a lot of kind of like realism from all of that. And a lot of just nothing I write stays real. It all becomes just bizarre, surreal nonsense. So
that sounds incredible. I hope you get to make both the variations on a theme feature and this Uber rider going to hell feature. It just sounds amazing. So I think you have a very unique voice and vision for films. And when I say you're young, I don't mean that as like you have a lot of experience and I look at you as someone who's got a lot of runway ahead of you. So I can't wait to see where your career goes.
Thanks. My reaction to that was not offense at being called young. I just don't feel. And I recognize that there is some entitlement in that. I'm just always insecure about not being where I think that I should be and blah, blah, blah.
You'll definitely get there. I really believe that. It's really amazing. I just love your ideas and love your film. So where can our listeners see some of your work?
I'm intensely unprepared for any sort of press cycle. So I don't even have a website, but you can check out my Vimeo, just search Peter Collins Campbell. And the easiest one would be my feature Dimland is streaming on anywhere that you can rent movies. It's streaming for free on Tubi. Shout out Tubi and Paramount Plus with a subscription. And I think like MGM Plus on Amazon Prime. I don't really know what that is.
Great. Wonderful. Yeah. I'll definitely make sure that's in the show notes as well. So Peter, thanks for dropping by today. Do you have any other plans here in Seattle?
I am going to watch a bunch of movies and walk up some hills.
That's great. All right, Peter, thanks for coming on the podcast today. Your film, Variations on the Theme, is amazing. I can't wait to see the feature and I can't wait to see your future features as well.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Check out Vimeo to see a trailer of Variations on a Theme. You can just search for Peter Collins Campbell, director. Also, if you live in the Los Angeles area, you'll get a chance to see Variations on a Theme during Beyond Fest. It's playing on October 7th at the Neon Theater at Los Feliz 3. And the film is also showing at the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival. That's between October 12th through the 19th. As always, we'll leave links in the show notes.